Well, if you haven't caught on already, innovation is a top priority for the new Prime Minister, Malcolm Turnbull. And in early December, the government will release a major innovation statement, likely to flag changes to tax breaks, university research funding, and the role of the CSIRO. Yesterday, the government announced the appointment of Bill Ferris as Chair of Innovation Australia. His position, his influence, will be central to this reform agenda. Bill Ferris founded Australia's first venture capital company in 1970, and he's currently CEO of Champs Press Private Equity. His appointment has been welcomed by all sides of politics, and that's helpful to start with. Bill Ferris, welcome to breakfast.
Good morning, Fran. Thank you.
Bill, you and others have talked about the difficulty of us commercialising our research. In some sectors, health and medical research, we are, you know, really in the front of the pack. But then we not only lose the economic opportunities, you also say we risk losing our intellectual property because of this failure. Why aren't we good at this, Bill?
Well, I think you mentioned health and medical research, and you're right. We're ranking right up in the top three, probably worldwide, in terms of breakthroughs, patented IP, publications, etc. Our researchers have done us proud, frankly, over a long period of time, and that's fabulous. What happens in that industry in Australia is that the R&D, the research and development, has got plenty of R and very little D to take stuff beyond early proof of concept, early animal testing, into what you need, you know, in man, in person, clinical trials, so that you've got actual evidence to attract people into commercializing and getting this new breakthroughs of molecules and devices into a marketplace, not just in Australia, worldwide, which we can do and should do a heap more of. So it is a lack of development funding and development skills at that stage to take it forward.
And is that an issue at the university site? Is that a problem or a failure at the university site? Because universities, I know there's been a conversation going about, you know, too much emphasis on research and you know, figuring in the top 100 universities in the world, you have to have the research and not enough on this development, this commercialization. But is that a failure of the university? You don't want them to pull back on the research, do you? Because that's what seeds all of this.
You're absolutely right. I don't join the university bashing club. You know, I think the research has been spectacular and continues to be, but somehow the balance is out of lockstep with the very successful competitor countries in terms of, you know, a desire, a culture, an ability to want to develop this material, these ideas further. So it's not just a university problem. It is a whole of system problem in Australia where the collaboration between industry and universities is pretty ordinary in some sectors, and where the availability of venture capital and the hunger to develop these breakthroughs is, you know, widespread and fixable.
How do we fix it? Everyone points to, and I think you have too, pointed to the success of countries like Germany, Israel. Israel is a really tiny country, really achieving in this area. What does Israel do in a policy regulatory sense that we don't, or how do they get that culture, that hunger that you talk about?
Well, you know, the realities of where you are in geography and history and culture and so on are very different between all of those countries and Australia. So, you know, you'll have different reasons and different templates that work in their operations that will be needed to be different here. I mean, Israel has had a very focused and not widely spread grouping of universities and government effort. Mm. It's very focused. It's defence and cyber.
So a national focus, in a sense.
Yeah.
It's easier to achieve.
Yeah, and you know, geography makes a difference too. You know, it's very focused, very clear, very driven. We've been more spread and more 100 flowers will bloom approach. I think when you look at this, you've got to consider by sector, you know, whether you're talking about health and medical research or agribusiness or mining or financial services and so on, on one axis and down the other stages of growth. So some of these places have done terrifically at the startup stage compared to us.
In you talk about the fear of failure, and one of the things you talk about is the legal ramifications that are too tough for directors who put their hand up, take a chance, put their efforts in to help with startups, and then it fails and they cop it. So we can make changes to those laws. But what about funding itself? We've got the superannuation funding base worth trillion of dollars or more. You've called, I think, on that base to invest more heavily into venture capital and startup funding. What would need to change in terms of the laws and the protections of obviously people, members' money, to allow that to happen safely?
Well, first of all, in the individual investor phase, you know, the high net worth putting money into startups and the early stage deals, I think that's one issue. And I think tax and some protection of liability so that they don't scare off from being on boards and mentoring, helping startup entrepreneurs. That's sort of one area that I think is addressable and will be probably by the government. It's not for me to announce anything there because, there's a lot of people advising. Mm. As far as the institutional superannuation sector goes, you know, I think any suggestion that you compel institutional investors or any investors will backfire. I think you can encourage with the infrastructure and incentive systems to see more of it. And to be fair, we are now starting to see at last some significant institutional super funds, big super funds, putting some money into earlier stage and venture activity. But it's the tip of the iceberg. It's being led by only a few of our super funds, and there's a lot more, I think, that will follow. And ultimately, Fran, they'll follow results, not promises.
Yeah.
That's where I think government can play an effective leadership and partnership role to stimulate it.
We'll see what comes out of the Innovation Summit or the Innovation Package, and hopefully we'll be talking to you further about this. Bill, thank you very much for joining us.
Good, thank you, Fran.
Good luck with the new job. Bill Ferris is the new chair of Innovation Australia.